States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So we have two agendas tonight, as we do at the first meeting each year. We have the reorganization meeting agenda, and then we have the regular board meeting agenda. So we will do reorganization meeting first, and then we will go into the regular board meeting.
Okay. In New York State, boards of education must conduct a reorganizational meeting within the first 15 days of July. The purposes of the meeting is to elect and or appoint new board officers, readopt existing policies, and make other annual designations, such as official newspapers, official banks, and depositories. At this time, recommended action that the constitutional oath of office will be signed by newly elected board member Danielle Dench, after which she officially will begin her new term as a member of the Board of Education July 1, 2017 through June 30th, 2020.
That's Dan. Okay. And you can read that.
Okay.
This way?
Yeah. I, Danielle Dench, do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New York, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of members of the Board of Education of the Santa Maria's Union Free School District, July 1st, 2017, through June 30th, 2020.
Okay.
Okay, interesting.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Constitution of the United States, Constitution of the State of New York, and that I will faithfully discharge duties of the President of the Santa Maria Union Free School District Board of Education July 1, 2017 to June 30, 2018. That according to the best of my ability. Right here?
Yes.
Next section is election of the Vice President of the Board of Education. At this time, solicitation for nominations of the office of the Vice President of the Board of Education will be made by the President. Vote will be taken until a majority is reached for one nominee. Are there any nominations for Vice President?
I nominate Darrell Ellie for Vice President.
Second?
I'll second him.
Great. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Darrell Ellie, having been elected by a majority of the Board of Education, is hereby declared Vice President of the Santa Maria Board of Education for the official year 2017 to 2018, and resolved that in the absence of the President of the Board of Education or his or her inability to act, the Vice President of the Board of Education will act as President and be authorized to assume all responsibilities and perform all duties of the President of the Board of Education as provided by law, and be it further resolved that the constitutional oath of office be signed by the newly elected Vice President of the Board of Education, after which the Vice President assumes office.
I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New York, and I will faithfully discharge the duties of Vice President of the Seven Riches Union Free School District Board of Education from July 1st, 2017 to June 30th, 2018.
So I asked the board, we can go through, you know, we have 10 pages on the reorg. We can go through kind of line by line. This has been public. You've all had it. Are there any specific questions you have on an item that would preclude us from going and adopting the reorg?
I just have a question with item number M,
So we'll skip M. Which M what? 6M? 7M?
On the reorganization, is there a 6M?
Well, there's a 6M. Okay.
The asbestos one.
Yep. Okay, what's the question then? We'll just do the
Well, is there a timeline for, like, is there official paperwork in for Gary that put in?
No. At this point, that item is not. If Mr. Crown decides to retire during this time, it will be prorated.
Okay.
He will not be paid the entire $15,000 in one shot and then retire and be able to hold on to that money.
So this is a stipend on a monthly basis that he's paid. Is that the way it works?
Just divided among paychecks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. That makes sense.
It does make sense, but I don't know, like, why, okay, but we're prorating it for, I thought it was for contingent on retirement, it's not for that to work.
No. So
it's every year.
Okay.
Every year we do it, by law, every year we do it, and it's for an entire year, and it gets paid on a monthly basis.
So I think your question, though, is should he leave his employee at any time during the year, does he get the whole 15 or not?
Yeah.
If that's your question. The
answer is
no.
That's part of the question. And so what's the percentage increase if he did, say, get the $15,000 if he retired? Is that he wouldn't get the full 15 if he retired?
What do you mean by percentage increase?
Like from his salary.
What do you mean by percentage increase?
Like from his previous salary with the stipend.
This is a stipend that he gets every year to take to have this position.
Okay.
As a certified safety officer, asbestos compliance officer.
Okay.
So
he gets $15,000 every year?
As a compliance officer,
okay.
It's a stipend for that position for the duties that are required outside of his normal day-to-day for that position.
Okay.
So it's paid on a monthly, on a paycheck-by-paycheck basis. So if he left the employee at any time, he doesn't get $15,000. He gets what he's earned for the period that he's here.
Okay, I understand. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
No, I don't.
Nothing. Anybody else?
Good.
No. Okay. We're at 4D? No.
D?
I'm sorry, 5. Motion to adopt items 5 through... Five through 14, and there's one change in there from the public document that's been posted, which is on item 8B, as in boy, South Shore Press is no longer and is now the Manable Press. It's now the Manable Press, so the official newspaper, one of the official newspapers will be posted with Manable Press.
Okay.
That's the only difference. Motion to adopt items 5 through... 14. Motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion. Motion carries unanimously. Recommended action upon recommendation of Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education adjourns the reorganizational meeting to commence the agenda for the regular July 11, 2017 Board of Education meeting. Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Great. So
we have
our presentation tonight, Board of Education. Thank you for coming this evening at 6:30. The public should know the Board of Education did a walkthrough, days 2 of the capital project. But I did ask Mr. Crown, our new construction consultant, to kind of do an overview, maybe 10 or 15 minutes for the board as well as the public. So I welcome Mr. Gary Crown.
All right, thank you, Mr. Stewart, and thank you, Board, for the walkthrough this evening and to the community. First, let me recognize our construction management team. This is Michael Dodge, the manager for Lee Michaels Group. He's the construction management team is the team that is responsible for overseeing all of the operations and construction of the capital project, and Lee Michaels Group have been doing an outstanding job. And Mr. Dodge just shared with me that on many of the project sites, portions of the project sites, we are ahead of schedule. And once we go through this small presentation, you know, any discussions that you'd like to have with myself or Carol or with Mr. Dodge, and I'm sure that we'll try and answer.
Quick question, I don't mean to bother anything, but Mike, do we get that in writing? I've been walking through and I see you're ahead of schedule and I love that, but do you think we get that in writing at this point in time? And we sit in, you know, July 11th saying, hey.
Absolutely, I could put something together based on, and again, we're ahead of schedule based on the initial construction schedule. Yeah. The initial construction schedule was issued the end of June. To this date, we're 2 to 3 weeks in. In those 2 to 3 weeks, out of our 8 possible weeks during the summer, that first couple of weeks, we're a good 4 to 5 days ahead on a lot of different tasks.
Nice. I think the biggest thing for us would be if there's any indication that we're going to be behind at any point. It's great that we're ahead, but if we're going to be behind, we want to know that immediately.
Absolutely. Definitely. Right now, there is no indication of anything falling behind or even anything keeping up with their schedule. Mm-hmm. Now, it's also important to remember a lot of these schedules, when you're in construction, a lot of these contractors put a lot of, lack of a better word, fluff in some of their tasks just to cover their own butt, basically. When we review those schedules, however, we nip that out right from the beginning because we understand that they're doing that. So we come up with a relative consistent schedule right from the beginning. So to say that we're ahead of that schedule based on a consistent and not a dream schedule, we're doing pretty good. But I can put it in writing and get those certain tasks and work areas to the board and to the district.
Yeah, especially in the area of the science fair, because we finished the master schedule, all the classes are ready to go. We have more kids taking physics than ever before in 7 minutes, so we're excited. But that, you know, that has to be done for, you know, the kids to be.
So as you know, we had a tough situation last year, and we're a little gun shy. That's why we're asking.
Yeah. And it's a little different in the classrooms. I believe it. I feel like I came in here with the. But I hear exactly where you're going, and I can get you anything you want. I'll get it to you before the end of the week.
Right.
A breakdown of each work location.
Right. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mike. All right, so here's a quick overview. It started June 28th. The process starts with the deconstruction and analysis of the rooms. And as Michael stated, Michael and his team go through each of these rooms prior to the deconstruction, look at it, figure out a course of action, which rooms, how they're going to deconstruct, set up for any abatement, oversee all those processes. So we've started and the deconstruction of the science rooms in the 200 wing. We've started the deconstruction of the technology room, 305A, 305B, and 305, which would now be changed into two separate rooms, which will be a robotics room, and I'm not sure if that's going to be a special education room. Those two rooms are in the process of being deconstructed, and some preliminary plumbing and electrical work is being performed in those areas. The main high school lobby security vestibule has begun with the installation of the metal stud superstructure, new doorway steel jams, as the the board saw during their previous walkthrough. And we are also working on some of the plumbing for the rooftop HVAC systems that will be in place and in play over the 200 wing where those science rooms are being deconstructed now. This 200 wing science room, it shows you some of the old casework being taken out and some of the walls. The picture on the right-hand side is a picture of two rooms that have been pretty much deconstructed and it will be enlarged with a small space in the back for the staff to do either small storage area, you know, a small storage area or whatever they need to do. what we did over in the 200 wing to eliminate the possibility of any students or staff or community entering into the work zone in that area, because there's a lot of athletic activity that goes on in the high school main gymnasium and in that corridor. Instead of putting plastic Ziploc wall protective areas there, we put plywood up to better define that area and to also to keep the contractors from entering into those spaces also. So it keeps them separate, and there's no viewing there. So it helps define the contractors so they're not distracted by looking in and staring and wasting time. Exactly. Wing technology. The room on the left is the room 305. That used to be the little office area when you walked in to 305. That little office that was demolished. They took a large transformer out of that area. The room on the right is that back area of 305 A and B, which now is going to come fully forward. That's where the two conversions into the two classrooms are going to be. This is just a couple of other shots of the reconstruction and demolition, showing what those rooms did look like. As you walk through this evening, you notice that a lot of this debris has been gone. Michael and his crew, his team, have done a great job with keeping up with the safety aspects of the project, meaning that they would make sure that the contractors, whatever work they were doing, to the best of their ability, to clean up as much as they can. When you're working with large pieces of cement and large drywall and things, sometimes you can't get it all out, but they do make a very good concerted effort to make sure that all of that material has been disposed of in dumpsters that are outside. This is the high school security vestibule. And again, that's going to... this picture is a day old. This evening when you walk through, you notice that those internal doors, the double doors that you see in the photograph, they're no longer there. Those doors, now that's a large vestibule now. It'll have two sets of double doors that are maglocked from the entry side, but you'll have egress, as always, for fire code. And they'll also have the outside and interior doors will both have buzzers on them, so that the security personnel that will be sitting in that corner, that photograph to my left, that corner of security, they'll buzz you in. You'll come in. You'll supply them with the documentation or data that they require, whether you're making entry into the building or you're just dropping off. And depending upon what happens, they will either give you a badge and buzz you in for the second, or make a phone call to say that somebody needs to speak to you. So we have, with this particular vestibule, we have options as to how we can handle people coming in to the building, whether they be business people, community members, staff, or whatever. And we'll have better control of the population apart from the teaching staff.
So the community knows. One of the things that we heard when we had the security consultant come in was that, obviously, you don't need to absolutely be in the building, you don't come in. And you don't want to have a security individual in a space with someone who's unknown. So a person comes into the vestibule, is alone, is locked in that vestibule, can't come in any further, has to get buzzed in further after he talks with the security individual. So that's the reason for...
Right. Exactly the same in Clayton Huey beginning of next year. This is a day ago, though, right?
That's correct. That was a day ago.
A day, right? Yeah, that was a day. You guys just saw it.
They took their doors down this morning, so they were taken down this morning. And this is the rooftop HVAC plumbing that we're putting up. They're working on setting that up. They're just laying it out rough for now.
For the science rooms?
That is correct. And that is the end of the presentation. Thank you for time. If you have any questions, Michael and I would be glad to answer any questions that you have. And if not...
I think that's it. With the cabinetry for the science rooms will be in when?
You're looking at the second week of August. They normally are a very long lead time, those cabinets.
And where are they coming from?
most of the time they come from Tennessee, depending on where the manufacturer is located, but most of them are down south.
Is there any point of this whole project where you have, like, a concern that, like the one concern area that may hold us up if it's not right?
You know what typically is my concern is specialty items. You have that the shutter going to the security booth. You have that shutter. That's a specialty item. It's a long lead time. I imagine that vestibule will be complete and we'll be waiting for that shutter. We won't be waiting past the deadline, but instead of finishing maybe the second week of August, I'm going to have to finish that the third week of August.
During that time, we'll still have the ability to license through the
absolutely.
So we can do it just that way. Somebody would have dropped lunch off for a child.
Right.
And we're still prior to daylight.
Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah. And the rooftop units are already delivered. We ordered them. I mean, John Grillo received the, I've never seen it like this. John Grillo received it on a Monday, the shop drawings for the RTUs.
Right.
He got them back that same night. I mean, it was comical. I couldn't believe it. Because they needed to order it right away.
Right.
They were already delivered. We already have them at the Riggers yard right now waiting. So those are two units that are going up, two RTUs, and we're just waiting for the structural steel, as Gary said. And that steel should be here. We're looking at within the next week, the steel should be here. That's for the RTUs and for all the exhaust fans. You have a lot of exhaust fans feeding those classrooms as well. We need to structurally install structural gunnage up there as well for that.
So I'm hearing no concerns. I'm hearing no concerns.
I always have concerns with everything. The glass is always halfway full for me. It's never good enough. But this particular job, the scope and the contractors we have, I'm real happy with this. I don't see any reason why we can't be ahead of our schedule, our intended schedule. And I'll detail that again during this week.
And we need another phase two walkthrough, because the boy walked through tonight, which was great. You actually had to get a visual. But maybe early August, maybe come through again, if you don't mind, a couple weeks from now.
Absolutely not.
Definitely. I know, Darrell, you were asking about that, and you've been a part of it anyway for days. So.
Great.
Not a problem.
Thank you very much. Thanks for being here tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Next section of the agenda, questions and comments regarding tonight's agenda only in the community. Anybody have any questions or comments regarding tonight's agenda? Okay. Motion to adopt the minutes of the regular meeting of June 20th, 2017.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools Board of Education accepts the following resignation.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Resolved that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education hereby abolishes one position in the special education tenure area and one position in the physical education tenure area, total FTE 0.4, based upon reasons of economy and efficiency as determined by the Board of Education. Be it further resolved, the employment of the following teachers and having the least seniority in the system within the tenure area of the position abolished shall be discontinued effective June 30th, 2017.
And you should be aware that this is only due to enrollment, because of enrollment purposes. It has nothing to do with anything about performance program. It just has to do with enrollment.
So just so for clarity for community and understanding, the special ed teacher and enrollment.
Because last year at the middle school level, you all know we had three 12-1-1 sections. This year, the numbers are now 1 and 3. They warranted 2. So we condensed 3 into 2, and thus one less teacher needed and one less paraprofessional needed, which you'll see in the next one.
And this is something that we are doing now because based on CSEs,
usually when you're in budget time, that's probably the heaviest time of when they're conducting the CSE meeting. So not to go right until the end of June and into the summer. So that's why you don't have the exact numbers until that point.
So as I understood it, if we didn't take this action, we would have a 12-1-1 class with 2 students in the class.
Correct, and students have to be
a paraprofessional, a teacher, and perhaps.
And you also have to look at the age of the students, because in those classes, it's within 36 months of ages, not grade levels. So you have to look at that as well. The students are going in and out very closely.
Okay. Motion.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Resolved that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, one paraprofessional position is hereby abolished, thereby terminating the employment of Rachel Miller, based upon reasons of economy and efficiency as determined by the Board of Education, said abolishment to be effective June 30th, 2017.
So as you noted, this is a paraprofessional for the 12-1-1 class.
Yes.
Whether
yes.
she is in that class or correct. Based on seniority.
And based on seniority, and in that class, you do have one para assigned to the class, not the individual.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
How many kids are going to be in each one of those 12-1-1 classes?
We had a period at the beginning to ask. I'll let you ask the question at the end, but we're going to work back through our agenda.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education rescinds the following action previously adopted on April 5th, 2017. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the following employee for a leave of absence from her position as per the CMTA collective bargaining agreement.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education rescinds the following action previously adopted on April 5th, 2017. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the following appointment.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education rescinds the following action previously adopted on May 31st, 2017. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the following employees for a leave of absence, which is in compliance with the terms and conditions of the Center Merges FMLA policy.
Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education rescinds the following action previously adopted on June 20th, 2017. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the following employee to return to service.
Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the following employees for an unpaid FMLA leave of absence, which is in compliance with the terms and conditions of the Center Merges FMLA policy.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the following employee for an unpaid leave of absence from her position.
Question on this, and I don't know if it's confidential employee action, but this is all the others have Family Medical Leave Act, and this is just an unpaid leave of absence.
That says as you go on that leave of absence is because she is taking a leave of absence from another teacher, so she has to take a leave for her job to accept the other job.
Got it. Okay. Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education appoints the following individuals as substitutes for the 2017-2018 school year as follows.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the following appointment.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. And that was load and curriculum writing for a month. What exactly we're done about it? No?
Yes. What happened was there was a teacher who was now on the leave who was supposed to do curriculum writing, and then it took up, she worked those hours, so we had to adjust it
Okay.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the following appointments.
As I look through this,
in preparing, there was nothing in here that I recognized as any different from last year, meaning additional or new appointments. These are reappointments in total, right?
But remember some of the more annual positions like AIS.
Right.
Just remember you did, through the budget cycle, add AIS for your K-1 for math purposes. So that would be the only one off the top of my head I can think of that was an additional.
Right.
But yes, I'm great.
I have a question. How come, you know, when we get our agenda, how come, like, we have the costs, like the stipends and everything, and it's not available to the public? Is that because it's contractual and it's a negotiation, or is that...
Yeah, I don't know of any exact purpose, to be quite honest. They are contractual, or the contracts are public knowledge, so if you want to know what a coach gets paid, you know, to do something, it would be, you know, $3,000 to be the... You know, the tennis coach. It is contractual. I think it's just the courtesy that we do over the right side so the board can see.
We had changed that a couple of years ago just so that we can see and kind of track and say, is there anything incremental to the budget? Basically, to ask the question that I asked, is there anything incremental that we hadn't paid last year or, you know, different?
Well, I know that we talked about the PCHP coordinator when I sat through the executive, and we were, that's different. That's what... I don't know, that's a different, that's a change from what it was discussed at the meeting. I don't know. I didn't get to vote on it, but, I mean.
I don't know what the question is. I'm not clear on what you're.
But it changed. I know it's paid through a grant, correct?
Yes, it's paid.
Okay.
That hasn't changed. It was paid for a grant. But you're absolutely correct that you know, the increase in salary should be noted. You're absolutely right. For Nanoska Slipstein, if you noticed on there. Because there was an increase in salary. It's not school district, although it's a flow through budget item, but it does come through a grant, correct?
Yeah.
Absolutely
okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Motion? Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following rates of pay for substitute teachers.
Motion. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Wait, I have one more question. I wanted to go back to the other item with the department chairpersons. I'm sorry. We have on, if you go back to the department chairpersons, special education, we have 3 special education coordinators, and we just eliminated a para and a teacher. But why do we need 3 special education chair people if we're the enrollment's going down?
Yes, it's a great question. That's contractual as well. It's something that the board can discuss if they wanted to negotiate combining those positions. Right now, it's contractual for specific levels of special education.
You're talking about the transition coordinator?
No, she's talking about the special education chair. You'll have one for the secondary campus, you know, and then you'll have one for the elementary. You know, you'll have different ones who are still special ed. You're correct. Contractually, just like the science chair people, that's in the contract. For us to be able to have, if the board said, well, look, we'd like to see a couple of the chair people combine and become one chairperson for whether it be the same area or several areas, that would have to be negotiated with the CMTA through the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement.
Can we set that separate then? So, and like, I guess discuss it in the executive session about, because I discuss it further because I feel like that this is a, something that I would like to research a little more.
So you're
voting for it.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is we are heading towards the beginning of the school year, and if something was going to be negotiated with them, it wouldn't be for a while.
Okay.
So I don't know if this would be the
just
time.
Just so I'm clear, before we jump to what specific, tell me the specific ones that you're, forget about the people.
Well, relevant. we have three special education chair people.
Yep.
And then we have...
And where are they?
So you're talking about 6 through 12 chair, special ed. Then
you're talking department about chairpersons, we have 3.
K through 12. Hold on, let me just take notes. So you're talking
6 through 12.
K through 5. And then you're talking...
The 811
K through 12.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then we have science K through 12 on this department chair. And then we have one that's in another group for the elementary school.
So we have a guidance. So we have a science chair for K through 12,
yeah.
And then there's two
guidance
chairs.
Chairperson, she is correct.
No science.
Yep.
One science K to 12.
Yep.
Yes.
Danielle's correct.
Yep.
You have three for special education for specific areas.
Right.
One K to 5, one 6 to 12, and one K to 12 for the 811 home.
Right. Yes. And then with the two guidance chair people.
And you have two guidance chair
people.
And then science, we have a K through 12 department chairperson here.
Yes.
And then I think on a couple of pages back, we have another one in the elementary school.
No.
It's an elementary research.
No, let me look at that, Danielle. Let's find that one. You're talking about?
Science exploration advisor. That's different?
That's different.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Different.
So you're, just to say what you're suggesting.
That's a club. Okay.
You're suggesting.
Danielle's saying she's
consolidating
all three chairpeople's position into one.
So you're saying having one chairperson for all of special ed, 811 and K through 12.
Especially if we have enrollment going down. That's I would think that would make sense. Even, you know, two instead of three, I think. But I definitely don't think that we need three if the enrollment's going down.
I don't know if I completely agree, Danielle. What I would say is, as it is a negotiated item with the Center of Religious Teachers Association, something's there. So the board would have to go to the CMTA and begin negotiating whether they open up the whole contract or this specific area.
Yeah.
And that would definitely take some time from my experience. So
in your view, what's the impact of not having, so put aside the contract for a minute.
Well, they
will do it.
These chair people, my immediate worry is they are chair people for CSE meetings.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want to not see them in those positions. I mean, Ricardo's not here. Of course, he's the expert in the area.
So so we're talking, do they each, so you have 6 through 12, you have mm-hmm. K through 5, and 811.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me a little bit about what, for the, I mean, we're talking 3,000. What do they specifically do as chair people for that additional 3,000, and could they be consolidated to save?
Well, you can always consolidate.
But could they do the work?
When I look at $3,000, it is a very small amount. It's like a stipend for a coach. They do it all year round. 811 is going on right now. Like, if we didn't hire for 811, our chairperson is here, you know, working with them, because they're a population that go the entire school year.
Mm-hmm.
So they assist all the 811 teachers. They're the kind of the first line of defense, in a sense. They work with the families on multiple areas. But they also hold committee meetings to some extent, sort of Mr. Soto and others.
Sometimes
he chairs some of the meetings and sometimes he doesn't.
Because in other districts that when I go to the other meetings, just so you know, I work for an agency that contracts out special services for different school districts. And I report on behalf of the agency. And at those meetings, there's usually just, you know, the special education department chair, you know, the parents. I report OT, PT, speech, whatever the service is, and the teacher. That's usually what it is. There's not a whole bunch of people there.
Well, I would say, Danielle,
So are you saying, I'm just trying to understand what you're saying. Are you saying that we shouldn't have a chairperson the meeting, or we shouldn't have...
No, that Mr. Soto, what Danielle said...
Yeah,
right,
like it's usually the director of special education.
He should chair every single meeting.
Yeah.
And she's
okay.
saying in large...
Hold on, let me just understand. So you're saying that there should be no chair people, and it should be Soto that does all the meetings, or that...
I'm not saying that there should be no chair people. I just think that having three chair people and the director of pupils personnel for special education, I think it's a little excessive when we're lacking in chair people in other areas.
Okay.
So
do we know how many meetings these guys... I mean, to have an assistant superintendent sit in on all the CSE meetings seems to me to be time-consuming. I don't know how many. We're talking 100 a year?
More than 100. And what I would say, Danielle, is as an assistant principal in the past, as a principal, right, we talk about a larger district, I chaired the CSE at the high school level for a decade. So, you know, I had that in 504s as well, because it's more than just those meetings. So it is hundreds and hundreds of meetings.
Yes, I understand that.
The question Danielle's asking, though, could you go from 3 to 2? It's a valid point. Could you go from 3 to 2? I don't know if you're saying don't have any and have...
I'm not saying not have to have
one. So you're saying, I'm just trying to figure out exactly what you're saying. You're saying instead of having a K through 5 and a 6 through 12, could we
have
one K through 12
chairperson who was a teacher that did all of the meetings?
Yes,
that's
because
the question.
they're all equally certified in special education. So, you know, that,
just from a time perspective, that's your question.
Yeah.
The other thing is pulling them out of their own classrooms as well. You know, because what happens is some of these chair people are in different buildings, so sometimes also pulling them out would be difficult. I mean, my concern would be, again, I'm back to the collective bargaining agreement.
But then you go to the meeting where the building is. That's what we do. You go to the meeting where the building is. That's exactly.
They leave their classroom. If I teach, what happens with chair people is, you should all know, chair people get one period off a day from their schedule and to hold meetings and do whatever they need to do. Sometimes pulling them out of classrooms are difficult because you want them to be in their full classrooms at times. So if you got to go to a different building and hold another 50 meetings, it definitely would be coming to take them out of the building. But again, I'm going to go back. It's a negotiated item to the collective bargaining agreement. So it's not something the board, in itself can just do that unilaterally.
No, I understand that.
So again, I would suggest the discussion with the CMTA, absolutely.
I think the discussion with the CMTA is an understanding. Because I, as I sit here, have no sense of whether one person could leave the elementary and go to the middle school and high school to hold the CSE meetings. Maybe that's easy to do. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But that's the question first. Are these duties that could be done by one person? If the answer is yes.
Well, when you schedule it, usually the agency and the school district makes the schedule according to, if it's high school or high school day. Like, that's how it goes.
No, I'm with you. I just don't know how many there are. If they're doing six a day each.
Well, then we should get that report.
That's what we should understand. You're right. That's what I'm saying. Before we go to the CMTA, before we do anything, we should understand from Ricardo how many they each do a day and what their other duties are and what his recommendation is as the expert to what will we lose if we consolidate. I mean, I think that's what you look at anytime you consolidate.
Yeah.
For if we lose more than the value we're getting here, it doesn't make sense. I mean, special education program is, I think it's such an important program, and I think oversight and ensuring that these meetings are properly handled is very important. But he may say, it's easy, no problem. So I think it's a good question. I think we, in my sense, for two reasons. One, because he's recommended that we've got this, and the consistency over the summer and getting these programs in place, I think we move forward as we've adopted this. We move forward. We visit. We ask him for the info.
Absolutely.
We revisit as the board and discuss.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
We already adopted that. So that's the negative for the next.
Okay.
We adopted that one. We adopted substitute rates of pay. We adopted only tuition. Did we
vote on
16? Motion. No, we did that. We did 16, 17 already. We're at 18. Motion to adopt.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves all certified teachers employed by the Santa Maria Union Free School District to be home instruction tutors effective July 1, 2017 and ending June 30, 2018 to be paid at a rate of $47.50 per hour.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that the Board of Education acknowledges that the following administrators receive a stipend of $1,500 for completing their respective professional development plans for 2016-2017 school year.
I have a question. Do we get copies of do they put the copies of the professional development? Where do you find that? What professional development that the administration did?
I gave it to you in the update. If you look weekly update that I give, they're all there.
All right.
Motion.
And that's from the Title II grant? That's how they pay that through the Title II grant when the professional development, that's how we pay for that or no?
No, professional development is just an additional money that's allocated to $1,000.
Think of it like salary. Same as salary. You allocate it for them to grow. We want you to go out and do these things. Here are the things they do. In the update, you'll see, they submit to us. Here's what we did this year to get this money. And that's part of the goals that you set for them at the beginning of the year. Here's the things we want you to focus on. Motion?
Second?
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Santa Maria Board of Education approves a merit pay increase for the following individual for the 2017-2018 school year.
Where is this in here? Carol, is that in?
It's not. It's
contractual. It's contractual annually. Okay. What was the percentage? Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following contracts in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contracts, as well as at the established cost contained in said contracts, and authorize the president to sign said contract.
I have a question. In the BOCES one, there is, in, I think we had a, for the BOCES art, there's a link, the thing for the BOCES art name that we have, that pay, that payment, I guess, that was for 2015-2016. We had that, I guess it was like $34.65 that we had used in BOCES art and education money. That's what we paid out to BOCES for that particular program, or no?
Which were you talking about in the pack?
It's in the BOCES
exhibit,
yeah. It's like the second or third page in.
Exhibit number two.
Yeah.
Here it is now. So your question is, what's the line item?
It's 440100, the arts and coordination fee and education programs.
I'm just looking on the page. So
it's on page two, I guess it says.
Bottom of two.
So it says that we had, under the contract for that year, we just paid out $34.65 for BOCES Art and Ed.
That's what's listed here.
Because I know when I was on the board of the PTA, we donated $10,000 that was supposed to be used. We can't tell you what to use it for.
Right, no, but the PTA actually didn't donate $10,000. They donated $12,000 in addition. The school district had an additional $3,000 or $4,000, so it should be around again, I don't know the exact date.
This current year we gave twelve, but the previous year we paid ten.
I don't believe so, but I'll double check. No, I don't think so. But we'll look.
Yeah.
We'll look, but that's, you know.
Because one of the things that I want to see with the in the where the school is to grow that budget.
And we did. We grew it tremendously.
But this it says that we're getting, we had $34.65.
That was last year. This year we grew it tremendously. And in fact, for the following year, we grew it even more so. Like you said, because we get money back. So we made sure that any money we were going to get back, we put back into the budget. You remember, Danielle, that was your recommendation. Actually, it was a great one. Remember? So this is for the year before that.
Yeah.
But for this year and for the following year, we took that increase and we threw it in.
Okay.
Did you read it? You read it?
Not yet.
Yeah. Motion?
Motion.
Second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon recommendation of the superintendent of schools, Board of Education accepts the following donations.
So it's a donation of two character backpacks valued at approximately $160 from Cassie and Keith Caputo of Helping Makes You Happy, Inc. to the Parent Child Home Program. Donation of a Bundy resonite clarinet valued at approximately $80 from Mrs. Shaming to the Music Department. And a donation of a used spinet piano valued at approximately $1,000 from Mr. Mediate of Suffolk Music Center to the Music Department. As always, you know, the donations that we get, whether they're from the PTA or individuals or certainly Helping Makes You Happy, are great and are able to support many of our programs with funding that we wouldn't otherwise have. So thank you very much. Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, Board of Education approves the schedule of charges for building use included in policy 3280.
I have a question. How much was, what was spent for that?
By who?
That the schedule of charges for building use including the policy 3280.
Right, we're not spending when somebody uses the FDA.
They pay us.
Okay.
So if somebody rents the gym,
yeah.
There's different, you have, if you look at Exhibit 3, there's different charges.
Yeah. Okay, I thought that was it.
Yeah, so they pay, so it's scheduled charges based upon the type of user. If you're a for-profit organization, you pay more than.
Okay.
So this is adopting
the schedule of charges, which is policy 3280, basically saying what we're going to charge for use based on who you are. Motion. Second. All in favor? Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the Treasurer's Report for the month of May 2017.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
So discussion. Carol, just so that I'm clear, I'm going to walk through this. To the good, we have received, as I read this, $414,619, or we're on target to receive more than we budgeted. Is that accurate? Am I reading this right?
That's correct.
On the revenue side.
On the revenue side. Mm-hmm. And that's a result of, just take me through, I got the state aid, an extra $146. What's the other income, $214,030?
Other income, it could be from various areas. It could be from parentally placed. It could be from health services. It could be from insurance proceeds, things like that. That could be another income.
So we got one additional East Merchant student. Right, for 50, is that what the 15 is, I assume?
Discourages, it could be an adjustment from the prior year or an additional student.
Okay. And then tuition on Native American, additional 47,000. Any sense of what that is?
Additional
students. So is it reasonable at this point, as I sit here, to expect that for, I think I'm going to ask the right question. So this is all May 31, 2017.
Yes, and we're finalizing everything.
So that's what I'm getting to. Based on the finalization, is this approximately where you're in on the revenue side?
Yes, we'll be revisiting, the Native American students,
and
pretty spot on.
Yes.
And then on the...
Same on the expenditure.
On the expenditure side, so the big line items on the salaries, we are to the good. As you're finalizing, is that changing materially or no?
No.
Transportation, an increase in 80, is that for a specific student or is that, why is there 80,000 more on the transportation side?
I think you recall that we had added an additional bus.
Yeah.
And there's other additional transportation costs.
What does that mean?
That fluctuates due to the student needs,
right,
especially in the special education area.
Students.
Homeless.
Mm-hmm. Which requires additional transportation.
So $400,000 less in BOCES expenditure. What is that? Right, am I reading this right? 398061?
Yes.
And that's a result of?
It's a combination of things. It's special ed costs. And it also is, we have certain services that go through BOCES, instructional programs.
So less people taking them, or they cost less than we thought, or
sometimes like the OCED program, when we budget for it, it's a certain amount. We might have it, and costs might come in less,
mm-hmm,
and that would contribute to the savings. Some of the curriculum instruction, like the testing,
mm-hmm,
that contributes to the savings. And again, special ed, we might have a special ed student who we originally budgeted under BOCES, and then we brought them back into the district, which will contribute to the savings also.
Okay. All in favor?
Yes.
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 Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the Student Activity Treasurer's Report for the middle school and the high school for the month of May 2017.
Motion.
I have questions about the student activity reports. Okay, I see in it's the Exhibit 5, there's a couple of clubs in here that I have questions about. I have DECA and Interact.
Which page are you on?
Well, it says it's page 1 and 2, but the codes for DECA is 110 and Interact is 115. So some of the checks that went out to were for the playground for, like, the elementary school for DECA, specific people, the school district, and for Interact, there's a lot of checks that are made out to Cuba. But I did the math, and it does even out. Do the people in the members of the club have... Like, do they send out information or, like vote on how it's spent? Is that because I feel like the Cuba thing, it doesn't really make sense. I feel like they should have that should be coming from like a field trip fund or something like that. I don't understand why it's being paid through the Interact. Is that through the Mauritius Rotary?
Yes, and it might be held by them as well.
Yeah, the Cuba trip went through the Interact Club because it was funded by, sponsored by the club. Every payment has the advisor's signature and also has student signature. Every deposit, every receipt has student involvement in it, so they know what's going in and out of the account as well as the advisor.
Okay.
But is that just a flow through?
They collect the money from the families too, so the money goes into their club account. It doesn't come into our school district.
Oh no,
it's
no
account.
No,
none of this does.
No.
This isn't money in our school district. So
no, I understand that, but I just understand it. Like if you're in a club and I'm a member and I'm paying my dues, I want to know where my where if I'm paying.
Well, like this isn't all dues. So when you look, $520 for a Cuba trip, money's come in from a family.
Right, so I understand, but they should have a separate account, like a field trip account, instead of going through a school club. I don't think that's responsible.
We could ask the question. I don't think you're allowed to do it that way, but we can check if we could have a field trip instead of having that. But I'll check.
Then you need an advisor, because we don't oversee, we don't take the money in and take the money out, so you would need an advisor for that field trip club.
Yeah.
Any other questions on that?
Nope.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
No. I'm going to say no to this one because I don't think that's responsible. I think that we need to look at something else. I disagree with that.
So is there a line item, though, in here that you think is...
Well, I think there's a lot of stuff in here in some of these clubs. I mean, top of it's the wall wrap. I don't know how...
Where are you with the wall wrap? Hold on. I just want to make sure I'm tracking what you're saying. What page?
We're looking at DECA. I question why they're coming out of here. There's one that's a Lego League. There's a Lego League club.
I just want to catch up with you. We're jumping around.
It's DECA 110.
DECA 110. What page?
It says page one, but
they're all page one.
Yeah. 110.
There's different number pages on by the staple.
Is
it? If you pull up the staple area, you'll see the pages.
Okay. Well, it's like the... But as far as the 4758, it goes to the Lego League.
4758, Bill Nofi, Lego League, I'd say a negative 234.66.
Yeah, and that's, and then I see...
So what's the question there, though, on that?
But why is, like...
DECA wrote a check...
For the Lego League, and they have their own club.
For the Lego League, and they have their own club.
Right.
Yeah.
So you would like the process change.
Yeah,
I think it needs to be clear.
I'm just trying to figure out what process we're changing. So what you're saying is Lego League
should have
their own bank account with their money, is what you're saying, and they should write their own.
You can't because it's an elementary club. You can't have it done that way. I understand what Danielle's saying. It's a very good point. The process that goes through the high school, they're the ones that, for a lack of a better word, they sponsor or they're involved in it. They're not involved in anything with the club. But we can certainly look at the process. We will work with Jill.
So the process, I'm just trying to understand what process.
The process of where the money is running through. Danielle said very clearly that everything matched up dollar to dollar. But she also said the process in which the way the money's going, flowing from other clubs into that.
So
she'd rather see it go from a specific club to field trips or things of that.
So what you're saying is you would want a specific Lego bank account with the money in there and the money coming out rather than DECA. I just want to take notes so that I've got it.
Yeah.
What else on the wall wrap?
Well, the wall wrap, I just don't know how everybody's being notified. I understand that there's an advisor signature and the student, but in my opinion, I don't think that the student really, I mean, it's good that they're, you know, involved, but they're children. So if their parents are paying dues or participating in this, I think that they should be aware of it too.
So are you saying that the advisor's determination on spending the money for the wall wrap is a question as to whether that is proper.
They're not spending, right? We're all clear that they're not spending the kids' dues money.
I understand.
Right, okay, so we're also understanding this is a flow-through money that's coming from one group into this account, and then it's being paid out to whoever did the wall wrap.
Yeah.
But Danielle's saying she'd rather not see it be a flow-through. She'd rather see it be individually
specifically
by the Lego League.
No, I understand the Lego League, but this was different. The point was, for this one, was the decision by the advisor to spend money on a wall wrap
approved by the parents.
Everybody that's in the club, I would say, you know, I just think that there needs to be more clear for all these clubs where the money's going, and or parents have access to it. That's really what it is. Because you get the student activity reports when you're someone in the audience, it just says student activity reports, and then you have to FOIL it. And it doesn't have a breakdown when I FOIL'd it before. It just says expenses and expenditure. Like, you know, that's all it says. It doesn't say there's no specific details like we get here. And I think that needs to be addressed. And I think we need to have that for people. Because I don't think people know. They want to know where their money's spending. Just like with the PTA, when I was on the board of the PTA, we had all of our stuff. We paid for the Honor Society. We paid for this. We paid for that. And it's all for every member to see. So
when you say members, you're not talking about board members. You're saying
anybody in the community.
Parents
should
see where the money that they're paying for dues for the clubs are going and how the decisions of the advisors are being made.
Yeah, everything should be available for everybody to see.
That's fine. I mean, we'll talk to the auditors and find out how it's typically done.
Yep.
I don't know how the decision processes are made.
Like I said, this is not through Carolyn.
No, I didn't say that.
Want to make sure that
but I think that we need to make everybody aware.
This is separate, but I can't.
I just wanted to be clear. So the points are advisors' decision-making process.
Like if they can send out like a ledger or some type of thing, what they did, the minutes of their meetings, and you know we spent this, but just like PTA does. You know, we have our meeting, and then we brought in this for the Ducks, and we donated this for this. That's what I think all these clubs should be doing. And they should be taking.
This is not taxpayer dollars we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
It's not taxpayer dollars.
It's not budget dollars.
It's not budget dollars.
It's not school budget, but it's still.
So it's not retired people. It's not a retired person's issue. I mean,
it's dollars of parents that have made contributions to be a member of a club.
Parents or students.
I don't know which clubs collect dues. I don't know which clubs take attendance. Like that's one of the things that it would be, you know, more clear. I think because we have a lot of clubs here, and I this is going off of the, you know, whole, I guess, topic. But even with that, like I know that there was clubs that my kids were in, and they probably met twice, and we're giving them stipends to go meet as a club, and they maybe met twice the whole year. You know, so I think that that's something that we should be doing. They should be doing an attendance and doing that type of thing, and for letting keeping people aware, like you know, Mrs. Hartwick does with the community happenings, and the PTA does with their stuff. Right. I think that's what we need to. I think we need that. And then you get people that are active, more active, and will do more stuff too. You know.
Next.
Board of Education has appointed an independent claims auditor to review bills and authorize the processing of payment during the period between Board of Education meetings. Recommended action that upon recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the report by the independent claims auditor for the month of June 2017 and authorizes payment of the monthly bills listed on warrants for the month of June 2017 as audited by the independent claims auditor as filed.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the disposition of records, books, and or equipment.
Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the recommendations of the committees on special education and the preschool special education for the months of February, March, April, May, and June for the 2017-2018 school year.
Second. So is there a, just back to Danielle's question from earlier, is there a, do you know, a chair person at each of, so we're looking at the CSC report for all the meetings that have occurred. Is there a chair person at every one of these CSC meetings?
Yes, I believe so.
So there's a chair person and Mr. Soto at those meetings? Or
I don't want to be wrong, but I believe Mr. Soto's at some meetings. In fact, some of the chairs, and some meetings he's not there.
Okay.
And in the beginning of the reorg, if you noticed, I think we had a couple there that we were approving certain people to be have the ability to chair. meetings of special education. There were several like the...
Who prepares the document for the meeting? Is the document for the meeting prepared by the chairperson or prepared by the classroom teacher in accordance with...
There are several documents.
Right.
Like several different people.
The agency does it. The special education committee does it. Whoever is providing the services, their whole team does that.
So we're providing the services. I mean, here for Senator Riches, we are preparing for the meeting with preparing the
IEP
for the meeting. And is that the classroom teacher, or is the classroom teacher and the chairperson?
And the service coordinator.
Depending if we have services.
Yeah,
some of them don't have. You're saying
if they get the services, then the coordinator has to write the goals for the IEP,
right.
And then they have to work with the special education chair and come up with the goals and the timeline of how often they're meeting.
It'd be interesting, to your point on the chairperson, it'd be interesting. I mean, this is effectively what Ricardo will be able to walk us through and say, listen, we've got, I'm just looking, I mean, from April to now, there's got to be 60 or 70 meetings here. What level of work goes into each?
Yeah, no, like I said, I'll give a detailed report to the Board of Education so we can see exactly what the chair people do, where their time is spent, how much time you're giving them off, and to Danielle's point, whether or not we should have two instead of three.
Yeah. Motion? Second? All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Okay.
Yep.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education conducts the first reading of the following policies.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education conducts a first reading to rescind the following policies.
We did 10 and 11 together. Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education conducts a third and final reading to rescind the following policy.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. That brings us to the next section of the agenda tonight, which is discussion of modification of the board goals for next year. Each year the board adopts goals to focus kind of on where we want to go in the next year, where we think we can best kind of drive the administration. And then from that kind of revision to where the goals are or creation of new goals, we update the superintendent's rubric. So that his kind of specific goals are aligned with the board's goals. The intent then is that he flows those goals down to the administration. And so this is what we're looking at, right?
Well, this is what we have online, right?
That's what we have online. This is the revision.
Trying to, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you want to take us through it?
Well, no, for me, looking at our goals, if you ever go online and look at our goals, it's page after page, and sometimes I feel like from the point of goals is that people read them and know where we're going. So what I attempted to do, just taking what we had, streamlining it a little bit, and I gave everybody a copy. Daryl had said something about the facilities. But I think, you know, part of it is we need to figure out our five-year growth plan, then if you look on the first page, the list of bullets, reduce the number of study hours, all of those things under student achievement, to take a second kind of look where we're going, where we want to go. What's here is basically what has been there for the last year and a half, and some of it definitely needs to stay, and some of it, you know, we may have to lump.
You're talking about 1.5?
No, that's the rubric. We're on the
goal. No,
okay. Yeah.
So the rubric will come
after
we do this, and we'll figure out.
You know, like the first, the assessments and stuff, we don't do until October because the final numbers don't come through until October.
Right. Yeah. The goal to do student and to have student achievement goals has been important to the Board of Education. The numbers have to be compared to the easiness of the BOCES as well as the state before you can actually come up with the exact number.
So I guess the question here is we've got the ELA math science assessments. We're focusing on growth there as compared to prior years and as compared to Houston Suffolk BOCES. over, you know, year to year and over 5 years. We're focused on Regents exam passing, and then I added mastery because I think that's important too. We've done, I think, made some great strides in the last few years in passing and some in mastery as well, but I think we need to focus on both.
I think we should add music retention too, because we don't, in the curriculum committee, that's one of the things that we were talking about, is that we have a low retention. We lose a lot of kids when they get to the middle school and high school, and we only have about 8 to 10% when they get to that level for music. I think we should add that as a goal, you know, as a growth.
Gotcha.
An incentive.
So we're saying, let's just see where this goes. So student achievement. So we are saying increase the number of students in music, I'm taking notes,
yeah,
in the middle school and high school?
Yeah.
Is it just that, or is it more we want to also continue, because we just both said,
yeah,
you know, like pushing kids to do NISMA or...
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good things that there's different opportunities, to incentives to keep them going. I know that, Tom, your son was really big into music. He did NISBA and all that other stuff, like NISBA, Hamia. They have the, like Hofstra, they have those competitions. I think that's something that we should look to, too. I mean, as an incentive, like, as their kind of competition phase, like sports, I feel like.
So increase the number of students participating in music in middle school, high school, and those competing in...
I'm not a music person.
Yeah.
Okay. So on the scores, the last point was Regents and advanced Regents graduation rates. I mean, the Regents graduation rate is 99%, extremely high. Advanced Regents, we've grown systemically.
Yep, 54%.
Yeah.
Highest ever.
Highest ever. And we're continuing to grow that. I think we'll look at those. I don't know if you had a chance to tweak those specific numbers or if we're waiting for Raina to kind of...
Yeah, but I do say that the piece that I'm excited that we added with the mastery, because yeah, those numbers really are...
We do have those in my
yes
rubric. You're saying it wasn't in the goals, because in my rubric...
No, it's, they don't, no, we're just saying that we didn't add them now. It's been added in the last couple of years, the pushing towards
oh,
mastery.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it should become... actually more important, because once you hit that 99% of Regents, where do you go?
Exactly.
You know, but also the numbers are
100.
Good. Yeah.
Well, could you put college like in that too, or in the goals, like some type of...
So there's guidance goal?
Yeah.
Down
yeah
at the bottom? We'll get
yeah
to that.
Yeah, because I didn't, that's what I wanted. We need to talk
yeah
about.
So just on the, just to go kind of line by line, you're on the score, the 5-year growth goals on the scores, which was exhibit or attachment one. I think we've got the assessments, we've got Regents exams, and we've got graduation rates.
Mm-hmm.
Robin, before the next meeting, you'll talk to Raina and kind of tweak the numbers and see if we get what we need. Okay. So then we're talking about programmatic growth. This is where we put the music.
Yeah.
So reduce the number of study hall hours.
Yeah.
Increase elective and AP offerings. And I think we've done that year after year, but I think we keep that on and then tie that into... what we put in this time is Explore ID at the high school, to sort of more officially take the next steps to explore that. Implement the MYP at the middle school, which, you know, we're on that path now. And then I wrote...
PYP.
Well, yeah, I said investigate at the elementary. I don't know.
It should be a goal.
It should be a goal.
Yeah.
To investigate. The answer may be this is not for us.
Right.
But in my view, that should be a goal. Okay, good.
And I think that we talked, the idea that that's a curriculum, possibly a curriculum committee
yeah
area to really kind of...
Yeah. I mean, and again, the answer may be it's not for us, but... foreign language was the next. Is that...
For elementary school?
You know, increase foreign language. We talked about bringing it to...
FLESS.
We talked about, are there other... So we have two. Are there other languages? I mean, I just think... you know, I sent you a text the other night. I think that...
Yeah, investigating Chinese, investigating ASL, investigating Latin, things of that nature.
I think Latin would be good.
So what do we say? So do we say increase foreign language, or do we say investigate expansion of foreign language such that, you know, we kind of present on, it'd be nice to see what other districts are doing with regard to other languages. I know, did you tell me ESM just added Chinese?
Yeah, they added it at the high school level. The only concern is they raised the numbers in the elementary schools to 27, 28 at the same time, so there was some...
Investigate low growth.
Yeah.
and, I mean, how do we say, and alternative languages.
Are you talking about in elementary school too? Are you gonna do,
I think the FLESS brings it down.
The FLESS definitely, yeah. FLESS is what they're hoping it down, which is okay. On the 5-year plan, I think we just...
Yeah, and the exploratory.
So you may say we're going to get it down to, as we investigate, you know, as we update the 5-year plan in like March or February, whenever that gets done, right?
Yeah.
You may say you want to bring down, you know, Spanish into, is it third? I mean, it comes down all the way to like third grade for a FLESS program, right?
It would be dictated by how.
But you may say we can't do this for 3 years from a funding perspective.
Yeah.
You know, where are we going to find the money to do this? It'll take time. So we had programmatic growth for the science.
With the doing partnerships like with the Brookhaven Lab and Stony Brook?
Yep.
Because I think Stony Brook is BOCES aidable. You can go through BOCES through Stony Brook.
Is that not in here somewhere else, though? That
I put it on just the rubric because that's where it was.
I saw your notes on the rubric, but I thought we had... No, you know, it wasn't, because you took these goals, we did middle of last summer, so we didn't have the independent study.
Absolutely.
So we have the, that's why I said, what science program?
Yeah.
So we have the, I think it is expand independent research. So I just want to be somewhat general here.
Yeah.
Expand independent research and outside partners, right? So that, to get your point, Danielle, gets additional looking. Where are we looking? Who else are we looking at? You know, we partnered with Stony Brook, we partnered with Brookhaven Lab. Are there others? Oyster Bat, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So expand independent research, independent science research, and outside partners. Last year we had maximized number of students who participated in all district review sessions. I mean, I think that's still a goal. We're holding a session for review. I think we need to take all actions that we can to get as many students as we can into these sessions. If you have a teacher with one kid there.
Yeah.
SAT prep, of course, was on the curriculum committee as kind of a next line item, and it's not kind of made the cut for growth goals. I would say we take this out of a goal, but we kind of put it back to the curriculum committee to say, you know, while you're evaluating and you're looking at, you know, kind of how you would prioritize, is this one that you would prioritize, for example, instead of, for a case of FLESS or something else? So from a general growth, I'm just reading the rest, from a general growth perspective, what else? Is there anything else that we want to add? We added the music one. Is there anything else?
What about like summer programs? Would you add that? I mean, I know we're doing like the classes, the summer academy, but what about doing like some type of like help and maybe even offer it to outside the district to get these Merges kids, like do scope, because they do scope over there, do something like that.
I saw that in your thing. Who pays for that?
I think you could charge.
Parents pay?
Yeah, parents pay. And I know my kids are going to St. Anthony's for summer doing a couple of programs, and they have a college essay writing class. They have
So that'd be like an expansion of our MYO, of the MYO program? The MYO enrichment program.
They have like an AP prep class. There's a bunch of stuff, and it's linked with the education and the sports aspect of it. So it's like a 9 to 2:30 day. You can do a bunch of different options. You can do soccer and do, you know, an art program. I think that would be something that would be good to do here.
Investigate
expanding
MYO enrichment for summer 2018.
Or not, it doesn't have to necessarily be MYO. It could be anybody because, I know Scope has their own contract. We can look at different things. We can look at BOCES. They come in and do programs like marine biology into school districts. I mean, that's something that we can do here too.
Investigate implementing enrichment for summer 2018.
Yeah. Because a lot of people are paying for it anyway. It would be nice if it was here.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Anything else from a kind of a five-year programmatic growth? We've got the IB, the PYP, the MYP, all the other things we've run through. We've got the specific scores-based growth, the regents for student achievement. Is there anything else? We've got the music. Is there anything else that we think the science program... other, we have other categories to go through, but is there anything else that anybody's kind of come up with? Okay. Budget. You know, I think in the past, the board, in the past 3 or 4 years, the board set kind of budget goals so the community can see what we're striving towards, what we're working towards in terms of, you know, finances, in terms of growth. We have the state mandated tax cap. We've always tried in the last number of years to do better, and we've tried to basically tell people what we're going to shoot for over 5 years so you can plan your budget accordingly. I spoke to Carol about this one and kind of confirmed the thoughts. I don't know, Robin, if you have the numbers here.
No, I have last year's.
The last year's the same. So I spoke to Carol about the numbers, and effectively what we had agreed as a board last year was over a 5 year period, again, so you have some sense of, you know, how your tax bill will go up or down over 5 years. We agreed the budget will not increase by 12% in the aggregate over the next 5 years, so approximately 2% per year, and we've kind of focused on that. We said the budget this year will not go up. I mean, the math is effectively more than 2%. Tax levy increase will not be more than 10% in the aggregate over 5 years. So you have budget, and then you have tax levy. Tax levy for each year we did last year will be the lesser of, the lower of, the state set cap. So there are times when we had time, Carol, it was like 0.014 or 0.14. The cap was very low. Or 2%. And then we said, you know, because just kind of rolling out a 2%, if you're doing that but you're shrinking the program, we viewed that as problematic. We said if you're going to go over 1.5%, it's got to be tied to growth. You know, and the growth that we saw last year was the science program, you know, the IB, the IB coordinator,
social
worker, exactly. And then we have the general caveat that you have to have, which is sometimes crazy things happen, and, you know, we're going to really work hard for this and to this, but if the state cuts our aid, you know, or TRS and ERS, which are the two big kind of pension drivers over which we have no control at all. I mean, you could see an ERS or TRS increase of $500,000 or $700,000 over the course of a year, if not more, that would kill us. We said, so assuming those things don't happen and we see the typical increases, we're going to stick to that. So I spoke to Carol and kind of thought a little bit about what, if anything, we see coming down the pipe next year that would either make us say, hey, we can do better than this, or, you know, wow, we have this big expenditure coming up. I have one more thing to say about the carve-outs, but we have this big expenditure coming up that we should account for, and she said, effectively, no big expenditures that are outside of the ordinary that would make us think that we couldn't go with the kind of the year-to-year caps. We are on target over the last 3 years for the five-year agreement. We're actually beating those targets. So she effectively said, while each year those goals are strive goals, I think that we can... There's nothing that, out of the ordinary, that says we can't meet those. The one other carve-out that I wanted to jump back to before was the cap. We've excluded capital project increases resulting from our capital project, which the community's previously approved. So I support keeping that goal the same, rolling it forward. Does anybody feel differently?
Can you put the BOCES goal, like increase the RNN, like put, make that a goal? You know, maybe
you're saying, well, this is financial on the budget, but you're saying, I would say put that more in student achievement.
No, well, the arts and ed, because that comes into the budget, because you get reimbursed 60% of a year. So say you grow the program like 2.5%, that's like in a five-year plan, grow the budget by like 5%. I don't
so
know.
What did we spend on arts and education last year, do you know?
We spent approximately $16,000, I would say. This year, that's right. That's right. This year,
16,000. 16,000.
We spent about 16,000. So this year, you're saying raise it up 2% each year as we go on 2% over that,
or whatever,
1.5%.
Yeah,
we plan.
You could do that. I mean, well, I wouldn't do 2.5 because
I don't know if that's taken from the rest. But I think it would be great if
as long as you use it on the say it on the expense side, we're fine.
Yeah.
So just on the spending side. We're fine with that, yeah.
But do we want to say spend more in arts and ed, or do we want to say expand the arts and education offerings? Meaning?
Well, you're going to get that reimbursed, and a lot of the programs that they do anyway in the schools are pretty much like arts and ed.
It's kind of what Danielle's
respect
saying.
Respect is, like, all this stuff, everything is.
Yeah, you were saying exactly.
You have Ross Valley.
exactly what we are doing. That's been our plan, so we're putting it in writing, which I'm...
What did we say this?
Support. So it's increasing the amount spent. Which grows the program.
I'm fine with increasing the amount spent, but I think if we say increasing by 2%, and then we get into this tough position where we're saying, well, we have this goal of increasing it by 2%, or we're going to combine these classes because we can't afford the 2%. I think if we say grow the arts and education offerings...
Remember the 2% what the amount is. If we spend $16,000 this year on it,
we get 60% back.
Right?
Okay. Grow arts and education offerings by 2%.
Thank you.
Good.
And the PT donates a big portion of it.
Saying it's from our budget, not the PTA. Whatever PTA does is separate.
PTA does. We
donate it.
We make sure that we were comfortable in case all of a sudden the fundraisers didn't come through.
Right.
They have every year from the PTA. The PTA has been gracious of increasing it. We're supporting all their fundraisers and hoping they're going to continue that.
Yes.
So grow arts and education, but I just want to be clear on what we're writing. Expenditures from our budget by 2% or the offerings to the kids?
No, well, it comes from your budget anyway.
If we come back and the PTA does not have decent fundraisers, then of course we wouldn't meet that goal. Right, because they give us money.
It comes from the PTA, though. It doesn't come from our budget, right? It's a donation.
It comes from
the budget line goes up in this sense. Because
we can't.
Grow arts and education expenditure by 2%.
Yes.
So whether it's from PTA or otherwise,
fine. Other donations.
Grants. The Board of Education will endeavor to seek grants in academic art, music, and athletic disciplines. We'll focus. So effectively, we're saying we want to focus more on grants, and we've flowed that goal down into the superintendent rubric, and I think we need to continue that. I think we need to talk about how we do it, and I think one of the thoughts I have, which I think I told somebody, I'm not sure who, but was to basically say new grants.
Yes.
So each year we've got, you know, $1 million, $1.5 million in existing grants, and those are great. Some of them are state funded, and we're going to continue to get those, but I'd like to see, you know, like couple $100,000 in different grant areas, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 received in different grant areas, rather than a state grant that we know we're going to get.
And the other question is twofold. One is applying versus actually getting at the end of the day, right? So you got to think about that, whether it's different, you know.
We could even do departments getting the grants.
And also, we
problem with that is, yes, you could. We went to this last year. The problem with that is, you need to have people write them. So if we say our charge is to Russ to take action to get more grants, we can't say, and the reason I'm clear on this is because that was something that we tried to push last year and we got pushback. We can't say the high school science department shall apply for $200,000 in grants. You know, so I mean, I think if we say
that was the second part that I was going to mention. Yeah. First is obviously applying versus actually, you know, receiving the grant. And second is to have some type of a system set up to how that's going to happen. How does that look like? Is it from specific buildings? Is it from specific departments? Is it just, you know, Mr. Stewart, you know, filling out things? Is it PTA? Is it the community? Or is it everybody? And who's going to oversee that? So there's something.
So do we want to set it as a seeking a grant or as a achieving a grant?
Achieving, I think it should be a percentage of growth. So, you know, year over year, X percent of growth. You know, so yeah, we've got.
But I would like to exclude those that we've got.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So we have $1 million worth of grants right now. We should, you know, we're going to say we have a 10% growth. We should do, you know, $1 million next year.
And I think honestly, it's my own opinion from the board. You guys decide. I would make it a community goal. I think there are a lot of people in this community who are, you know, whether they're retired or well-versed in a specific area, probably have a tremendous ability to apply and know grants that they could possibly get.
But they don't. But how do we make it a community goal?
Well, what if we're trying to, you know, increase music as an educational goal? Why don't we put that into maybe focus on music grant for this particular situation, maybe try to go for something like music arts or something, and each year try to develop different areas to focus on the grant, because then once you secure the music one, then you're familiar with how to get the grant.
Right, you got that one in the box.
So then go the following year and do, you know, science or, you know,
language.
So from a general goal, general goal perspective, I think we would flow that specificity into the rubric.
Okay.
From a general goal perspective, I think we say something like, set a goal to receive grants or commitments for grants in, so it's 17-18 school year. And what was the goal? What did we receive this year?
I don't know exactly. I think it's in the high eight.
So a 20% jump is a 1.1. Receive grants in the amount of 1.1.
If you went from 9 to 20%, we got 180 on top of it. We have 1,080,000.
Yeah, so 1.1 is something that we think is reasonable.
Yeah, I've said this before in the board. You said reasonable. You're in this gray area right now that I just can't.
For a second on the whole concept of grant writing, right? So it's foreign to me. I don't understand the process. But is it something a lay person in terms of education could do within a given field? So somebody who is a science professional or a technology professional would have the ability, just an individual community member, to go out and seek this money out somehow?
Sure. And there was some, I mean,
they may need data from us.
The perfect example is the playground grant.
Yeah.
Right? We received $265,000 for the playground, and that was, if I'm not mistaken, that was Mr. Foster's grant, right, that he applied for and through the town of Brookhaven and so on. So, yes.
Sounds kind of like a lot of work.
You could certainly, he was the nest behind it, I think, but I think he signed the papers. But no, I'm saying that I think that, yes, they do have the ability to apply for grants.
It's very, it walks you through the process and tells you what you need to do as far as, like, SID and, like, the timelines and stuff like that.
There are professional grant writers out there for sure. There are school districts, many of
them. No, but I'm thinking in terms of volunteers.
Well, volunteers, sure. Yeah. Absolutely. That's what I'm thinking, because I think you're tapping in to 7,000 people versus two people or one person. I think you'll just get, you know.
So from my perspective, it's a goal for the district to grow, and then we implement that goal through the board's direction to you, and to the extent you are able to rally the employees here in the district or the community to think about different grant areas and grant opportunities.
I would take it one step further, though, and I think that the Board of Education, especially if it's their goal, filtered through me with locking arms with administration achieving this goal, because it's not just the superintendent, it's the Board of Education with the community going out and achieving this goal. You don't like that?
No, but if we get one, it doesn't go to the cap.
That should be excluded from the cap.
I think I got one in the box. Right?
What kind of team player, you know? Sometimes.
Communication.
Yeah, in the
box. Communication on the Board of Education. So one of the things I think, you know, some of the things are carrying forth. The skip level meetings on a biannual basis, I think, are great. I think that maybe it's part of that, you know, and we'll flow this into the rubric, but, you know, we get to see a bit of feedback on those meetings. I mean, we know that you're having them. It'd be nice to see not, you know, line by line notes from each meeting, but, you know, highlights and lowlights.
Yeah.
You know, I think would probably be good. You're emphasizing parent teacher communication. But, you know, one of the things that I've felt since I've gotten here, and I think, you know, I've heard a lot from the community, is there's a lot of good things going on here. And then there's, like, six people at them. You know, I don't know if it's a communication, I don't know if it's awareness, whether it's a board meeting, or whether it's parent-teacher conferences are good and open houses are well-attended, but, I mean, I've been at, you know, principal's tease with three other people.
I think it's timing, and I think that everybody in this community does everything. That's what it is. Like, so your kid's doing
soccer. So you don't think it's communication?
I think there needs to be communication, but I think that there needs to be different scheduling. I mean, there's so many things that overlap. Like, when they had the play, they had the Brookhaven Lab thing, they had Skamia, and they had Nisbana all on the same weekend. And my kids were in all of that. So you can't get to it all. And you can't do it.
So, all right, so on the communicate, I get it. On the communication side, I think today's day and age, I mean, we've got connected, people hear that. I think from a social media perspective, there's got to be a better way that we can communicate.
I think when you were running for the board and you put your goals up there, I think that that's what you need to do. I think you need to let the community know what we need to know what's going on. You know,
we have the goals on the website. We do all that.
But I think people don't go to the, like, I mean, they don't.
We need to push it out. whether it be Centimerge's Facebook,
Twitter,
or something, push it, and you know, Kim needs to be, you know, have some following and say, tonight, don't forget, we've got this, and it pops up on everybody's phone. We've got this great event. I mean, you're embarrassed, but you're right, everybody's busy. There was a Christmas time movie event, and there was, you have administration here running this movie for the community, and there's like four people.
Yeah,
sometimes I think, though, that we've also are going so far to try to do events that there are too many. Parents get overwhelmed. Like, if there's three things in a week, I've got three kids, I couldn't
be all over the place. Yeah. And then, I mean, even like that Beautiful Me, I didn't get to go to it because I had other state stuff to do, and I heard it was great.
I'm the same way with my kids, and I think that, one thing is it's not just the school district. We have PTA events, you have MYO events, MCC sports, etc. We're pulling the kids in so many different ways. It's tight. What I would recommend to the board is out in the next week or two, you're going to get the calendar. As a Board of Education, each one of you get it individually. Feel please bring it back to your constituent groups. Look at it. And if you want to make changes on the calendar, please voice your opinion early because it is tight. There are so many events in this small little community. The buildings are used 24/7. You'll see that. It's amazing. But we are tight. As far as the code notification out, you will
see. Can we look at like a social media active notification? Like I find out from CNN when what's going on a minute ago, yet I have to actively go to a website to see what's going on with the middle school happening. Easy, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We can.
That's
it. Put it on the community news.
What's that? Yeah, but then nobody goes, you know. It's not. Yeah.
That's not just.
No, what I'm saying, if you put it on there, when I did like the Glow Run and I did the Chinese auction, you know, I updated, you know, the different things, like what was going on, and I kind of stalked people through Facebook. But there's a way to do it, and you can do it responsibly, I think, and, you know, shut things off. I'm not sure.
I'd like to see a push, though. I agree. If you put it there, some people will see it. I think if there's a push site that you can sign up to say, Kim Hardwick, Centimerge, or Clayton Hewitt Elementary has updated, you know, actions today, and it pops up, and you see, don't forget tonight's this. People can believe it.
There is a Remind app.
Yeah,
you can use that, too.
Exactly. Whatever it is. I mean, so maybe as part of the goal, you guys look and say, what would work the best, you know? I think that part of the Facebook issue would be you have comments back and forth, and that's not really...
Well, you can shut the comments off, or
as you
do
shut
something
that
like
off.
That.
Yeah.
We have it
that's
that way. For Girl Scouts, we have it where you can only post, and there's no comments, or, you know, they can message so that it doesn't get, you know, out of line.
Yep. You just want to be careful that we don't exclude people that are not on Facebook.
But you still have it connected,
yeah,
and you still have it on the website.
You can do the Remind, you can do a bunch of things.
Right.
There are many.
It's another kind of 2017, 2018 avenue to communicate. Survey. I mean, I personally think the survey has been good. It could be better if we had more responses, although last year the responses were better than the first year. And I think part of that is shortening it.
What's in the survey?
So we did a survey. We started 2 years ago, to all staff. And basically we came up with 15, 20 questions basically saying, what would you like to see in the district? What would you like to be better? Not necessarily with regard solely to educational growth, but also, you know, we've got 200 X employees. What can we do better? Not so much scheduling, more...
Well, last year, work environment,
morale,
ideas, initiatives,
okay.
Those
more morale,
incentives.
Work environment, you know, things like maybe
they want to see, mentoring, they want a team, areas to grow.
But also,
one of the top things a year ago in the first survey that came back from staff was the social emotional piece about a social worker.
Right.
It was the number one ask by the staff. And then the board wrestled through the budget season. At the end of the day, ended up hiring another social worker with the additional funds.
It's really an opportunity. So here, you know, you'll see most of your feedback will come through administration, right? That's who you're interfacing with. And this is an opportunity for us without, you know, necessarily going knocking on the door and saying to a teacher, you know, what do you think? Are you happy? Which everybody's nobody's going to say anything, or it's going to be to say, here is an anonymous survey. Let us see how we could better run the entire program. Not so much curriculum as much as
overall.
So I think we should do it again. I think we should change the questions up a bit.
Yeah.
you know, we can look at last year, see what you know. And I think we should keep it short. The first year was long and literally initially the first time we went out, we got like 10 responses.
Okay.
And then we went, and we got 10, maybe 30. 30?
Overall time, maybe.
Yeah.
The first year.
And then the second year, we shortened it. We did some different things. So I think that's important again. And then school involvement, I think this is your note from the other night, but school involvement in community group events.
Yeah, especially since they're all giving, like a lot of them, you know, different organizations are giving scholarships and we don't really see anybody at a lot of these, you know, different organizations, you know. I mean, like the fire department, the Rotary, the Chamber of Commerce, all those things, I think that I don't think that anybody really goes there, you know. I mean, PTA, they, you know, some people go, but even that, I remember we were talking about as a PTA board, trying to get them to come, trying to get teachers and staff, you know, to come to our events. And it's, you know, because the kids love to see it, you know. So I just think that it would be just great because so many people in the community live here.
So maybe we do, rather than say, you know, we're going to have administrators at all of the events, we can't direct teachers to go to all, maybe we say, we invite them to our. So if you went to the fire department and said, listen, tonight we are presenting on X, we love you, or next Wednesday we're going to present on X, the facilities, there may be more people, because like, I know that I hear from these guys and say, well, why aren't you guys doing this, that are interested in that. So affirmatively reaching out to them to tell them, here's what we're doing. It's an email list.
I think Danielle's talking about the staff going to their meetings.
I understand, but I'm saying, you guys are at 1,000 meetings, and I've been to these meetings. Some of the, and I, that's good, and maybe we do a little bit of that, but I think we also reach out to them and say, hey, you know, come in tonight for this.
Can someone come and represent somebody from the school district for, you know, the fire department? They have a meeting, you know. I think that that would be nice.
So increase partnership with community groups.
Yeah,
what if we say that?
Yeah.
Can we go back to the one above it for a second?
Hang on. Promote awareness of the many exciting things taking place at our schools.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes, like we've got it, like a, you know, like one of the things in the rubric was having to do with our relationship with the press. But I just would like to see more. The article about the IB that like they did a couple months ago, that was a great article. I'd just like to see more of that. More coverage of our district in like Newsday. And I know it's hard to even get in. I know that, but I just think that
you mean our submitting articles.
Yeah,
who's
submitting? Inviting News 12 in.
Who's submitting articles to the papers?
Yeah, we don't have a PR firm. Yeah. Most districts have PR firms. We all do. We all submit.
Or Carl will write something.
The truth
or
is we have our own. We also have our own district news.
Yeah.
So sometimes we'll send an article at the exact same time, but then we know it's going to be in the district news, and then they'll post it. Sometimes they get upset with that.
Yeah.
But we all kind of pitch in.
So you're saying basically you want to say promote awareness taking place at our schools, including publications in local media?
Yeah.
Okay. Facilities. You know, carefully carry out the final two phases of the capital improvement plan approved by the voters of our district. So as we walk through, lots going on now. There will be other work at the Clayton gym and bathrooms in the fall, as well as the high school AC and the auditorium. One of the things that I really want to see kind of updated, Gary had done initially a five-year facilities maintenance plan. I'd like to see that, and maybe pretty soon, you know, updated like October and presented on, so that we're kind of clear on all of the maintenance items, where they are, prioritize what needs to get done and cost. So whether it be Univents or, you know, like we were talking to him tonight about the ACs, the AC and heat. Why are you laughing?
Gary, October, five-year plan.
You got it?
Yeah, I got it. He's gonna be tired.
September? So September. September, number 1st.
We'll get the school watch. Right?
August. Whatever the date is, I don't know, but I want that before. Right? I mean. plan for the useful life of our systems and infrastructure such that each informed decision can be made in connection with attempting to create reserve funds. So I think that ties to the prior one, which I'm good with. And then I put down here as aspirational, fund a capital reserve fund or maintenance or capital reserve fund. Mm. You know, we've talked about that each year. I think it's a goal, and, you know, I understand. Like, what we did a year and a half ago for the bleachers. I mean, we used it right away, but we went to approve it, and, you know, I think it's important, something to think about, and I know that we need the specific items. We have items that come from this. Not everything on the maintenance plan will be true maintenance. Some will be capital reserve. Right? I mean, I don't think replacing univents constitutes maintenance. I think that's capital reserve for which we can get reimbursed 65%, where maintenance we can't, right? Okay. Anybody else on the facilities side? Okay. Technology. I mean, I think we've got to implement smart schools and ensure proper rollout of programs and training. You know, I don't know if there's anything else for technology that we should be focused on this year. Marcus, you've been neck deep in this. I'm just going to ask you, do you have your thoughts on kind of where we should focus from a technology perspective other than rolling out the smart schools in the next 12 months?
I think it might be hard to say at this point because that initiative is going to be rather transformative.
Yeah.
I don't know where we're going to be in a year.
So, I mean, it's reasonable to say we've got a huge meal in the next few months to roll this out, to train. You know, so what we've got is implement smart schools and ensure proper rollout of programs and training. That's enough. Okay. So guidance, you know, I mean, I think in the last 2 years, we've had some great presentations from guidance, and we've seen some kind of growth in as much as rolling out the software programs in eighth grade, increased college trips, increased career days. I think that, you know, while graduation is the kind of ultimate goal that we're all looking for, it's also to ensure that they're college and career ready and that they get into the schools that they want to get into or into the careers that they're looking to get into. So I think we need to
track it
and we need to grow it. And, you know, what we've written here is it is the district's goal to increase year over year the amount of scholarships granted, grants offered, four-year institutions attended by our students, and career opportunities of their choice. You know, so kind of whichever way you're going, are we helping you properly? I think that's kind of got to be the goal, because if we've graduated and increased the graduation rate, but we're not increasing this rate or the job, you know,
acceptance rate. Well, what about like summer college, like internships or something? But like a lot of those, a lot of colleges do offer that.
I think that's great. I think that I would put that into student achievement.
Well, I would think that like maybe if you had like a guidance chair, like liaison person that would kind of research the local colleges to do some type of internship. I know that I think maybe it's a Delphi or Post. I forget which one. They have a program where you could stay there for a week.
Yep.
You know, Stony Brook, you have that. There's a lot of local colleges that they could. I think that that's something that they should explore.
I agree.
That, and I think even I don't know about having like ROTC here. Like, I know.
They're here, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, they come and visit, like, but they're not based here. I don't know if like we can grow that too. I know it would be nice to see kids going to, you know, like the Naval Academy, not just getting.
I agree.
I did a race a couple of weeks ago, and there was but there was Sea Cadets, and they were a couple of the kids that I was talking to. There was one from St. John's, one was from Chaminade, one was from St. Anthony's, Smithtown, and Brentwood. They all have, you know, that access in their schools. I think that would be something to grow here too, not just, you know, enlisting, but
I have to admit, I don't know a lot about exactly what ROTC does. I want to understand that before I say fully supportive.
But that would be something that maybe they should look and, I mean, just maybe look at somebody, you know, having a student go to West Point. You know, that could be something that would be awesome.
Oh, I think that would be absolutely awesome. So I agree with everything you said. I think that we should get summer internships, have guidance focus on that, guidance focus on, you know, whether it be military or career, I'm in full support.
Yeah.
Is there a way to, or can we put a goal on scholarship application?
Yeah.
I mean, we did, though. Did we fill last year in your rubric or not?
How many o'clock are yours?
I think at the very least we...
60% less than the year before, and I know somebody who had zero applicants for their local scholarship.
Yeah, PTA, I think, only had like 11, right?
So you want to say...
The scholarships wasn't there, and you're talking about one or two of them specifically below.
Well, like my scholarship, I had 60% less applicants than I had the year before.
Wow, that's a big one.
It's huge, and it's a nice scholarship. I'm just kind of dumbfounded by it, especially when you look at the selection of schools that children were attending. So, you know, that was one thing. And then I know somebody in town who has a scholarship that no one applied for.
Yeah.
So we want to say something. Is that right?
Yeah.
Cool. And I think the most important thing is knowing the deadline, because a lot of people don't know.
So we want to say something like, let's get the dollar. So, but it's not just town scholarships. I view guidance's role as...
Oh, it is.
Scholarships external from colleges, from everywhere else, whether they be grants, scholarships. So what we have here is, it is the district's goal to increase year over year the amount of scholarships granted, grants offered, blah, blah, blah. Are you saying you want a dollar amount in there?
No, I don't want necessarily a dollar amount, but I didn't read this completely. I kind of jumped the gun when I said what I said. It's actually in here, but I don't know. I look at the local scholarships especially as low-hanging fruit. I mean, it's coming here.
Well, First of all, they should all be applying for them, A.
Absolutely.
And we should be knocking on doors specifically to say, can you help, B.
Absolutely. And then you canvas parents and, you know, and even some of the kids, and you get a response of, well, I didn't think I would get it. You know, to me, it doesn't seem like there's a, you know, an initiative to get out there to get the applications.
I agree. So do you want to change this goal or not? Do you want to put in a specific dollar amount? We have it increase year over year. I think the way that I would do it would be keep this as the general goal. I think I would find out, and I'd ask when they come in, but in the aggregate, the amount of scholarships that have been sought by kids. And if we don't know the answer, we should start to track that and then grow it, and then we would put that into...
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that would be the communication, too, because I think that the way that the guidance department advertises the scholarships is on the e-board. I think that you need other school district websites. They have community organization links. And then they have links to their scholarships. I think that might be something that we should explore too.
I'm of the view that, you know,
communicate everywhere, because that's...
I'm of the view communicate everywhere, but I'm also of the view that while it's not, you know, what they'll get in college, I think that we need to really push it out. Like, the links are great, but, you know, there's millions of links now to everything. I think if there are scholarships, if it were me that were running it, my goal was to increase scholarships, I would have lists. I would be in front of each kid that I'm talking to and saying, you know, your goal, let's see if we can figure out how to have you go to college for free this year.
Yeah.
You know, that would be cool, wouldn't it? And then let's see, here are the ways that you can do that. Go home and do it. And if you don't want to do it, that's your decision. But that's kind of the way I think about it.
But it should be. I think that like deadlines, that's a big thing. Yeah. And I don't think they, you know.
And if you make this a general guidance goal to increase, I think we leave it to them and guidance to say what actions are we taking rubber hits the road to increase. All right, got district policies. So effectively, we've been on a process of looking at what was the entire, you know, book over the years, updating them to policies that are more consistent with local law, consistent with what other districts are doing, and, you know, dealing with social media and things like that. I think we continue to do that. Is there anything else that we want to have kind of in the general goals category? We don't want to increase the grants. All right, so I think our plan is to kind of have this document updated and adopted at our next meeting. All right.
32.
All right,
just
finished 32. 32. Some questions or comments from the community on items not on tonight's agenda? And Ms. Mitchell, you had a question before.
Yeah, about the 1211. We did away with the special education teacher because you said the enrollment was down. But what are those 1211 classes at now?
They're going to be approximately 8 to 10, depending on the period.
So why were we saying there would have been a third at additional two students?
They're going to be 8 to 10 now with two sections.
Each section will have between 8 and 10 students, depending on the period.
Any other questions or comments from the community? Say your name just so we have.
Janice Greb, Rich's Rotary President, sponsor of the Interact Club. I'm a little concerned about how the money for the AP Social Studies trip to Cuba was filtered through the Interact, if I understood that correctly, was filtered through the Interact account, because about a year ago, the Interact account had $6,000 that the students had raised in the account, and they had unanimously decided that they wanted to use that money for to sponsor two special needs children to attend Camp Quad. So I'm wondering, after that money was filtered through and used for the Cuba trip, is that $6,000 still left in the Interact account so that the students can do what they wanted to do?
Do the one hours. What do we want to do?
We can certainly have Dr. Flynn Trace, our Interact advisor, come to the board, as we'll submit something to the board if the board is interested in looking at how she handled the funds for the club.
So we'll get back to you on that answer.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Yes.
With these special ed chair people, how many students roughly do we have in special ed?
Special ed students.
I would be speaking off the cuff, I would say approximately 200.
I have one question that
you can anybody else have any questions?
I also have one thing. Daryl, I'm with you regarding the scholarships, because our scholarship with the chamber was even on the list, and I have to find out like 4 days before from a parent about their kid writing something for us, and I said no.
So what do you mean it wasn't on the list? The Chamber of Commerce scholarship
business,
was not?
Business too, yeah, it's not on the list.
Offered to the students.
$1,000.
I mean, that's...
So that's one. So we, last year and this year, we made it two. We had 500 citizenship, because there is one for citizenship, and it says write an essay. And I think there was 11 kids that applied, and 8 wrote essays. So that, and we made a special meeting on Memorial Day weekend to look into this, and it was up here on that Wednesday. So I understand exactly what you're saying. And was the curvature...
Thank you. No, I fully support looking into that, making sure. Meg?
No, I just wanted to say that the guidance does come in, and we do get a list, and all the deadlines are listed on that list.
Right.
So I think a big part of it is that, for I personally know kids who went home and didn't do it. Like, we spoke to people who just didn't do it. And then my other recommendation would be, though, is I found a listing guidance. There's, like, an envelope you can go in that I found in there, and actually had scholarships for juniors, and I know juniors don't get that same meeting as far as scholarships, so
scholarships for juniors, when do they get the money, you're saying, when they ultimately graduate, or
there was a whole packet of scholarships, and the seniors get a meeting about it, like they come in, first of all the guys meet with everyone, right. But they come into the classroom in our English class,
right,
and they handed out all the scholarships, we went through all the scholarships, they had all the deadlines, we were allowed to ask questions. But I'm saying I found another packet in guidance. I went into guidance, and I asked if there's anything else. And there is another packet, and in the list, there's like, it's like another 4 pages long, and it's scholarships from everywhere, though. It's not the community.
Third-party scholarships that juniors can apply for,
yes,
and use the money when? Like, do they get it for college, or do they get it?
No, they get it for college, but like I got the list my senior year,
right.
And there were ones for seniors, but I found ones for juniors, and I actually told several juniors that I've been friends with, like, take a look at that list, because those deadlines had already passed for me.
Right.
So
they have the 9th and 10th
grade.
Don't just meet with seniors for scholarships.
But that's the point.
Is just probably in the back.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, I think that's great. Anybody else? Yes.
The psychologist, she's taking a leave of absence. Are we replacing her while she's out?
Yes.
Anybody else? Motion to adjourn to executive session for purposes of discussing employment agreements for two employees. Discussions regarding proposed pending or current litigation. Other matters, disclosure of which would result in the unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. Motion.
Second.
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 All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. So thank you. Next meeting is August 30th in the district office.
August 30th.